Welcome to the Monster Club.
An honest look at horror movies from lifelong horror fans.
Fair warning, you may not have seen this movie. We have Spoilers Ho! I'm Jethel.
And I'm Tark.
This week, we take a look at the 2013 sci-fi drama, Under the Skin, starring Scarlett Johansson.
And Scarlett Johansson's breasts.
Yes. Well, only once, actually. You only see them once.
A couple of times. What I like about this movie, though, is the nudity is part of the story. It's not just there for cheap thrills.
Right. It's not just, okay, let's see, this scene's going a little long. Can you flash your tits for the camera, please? Thank you. Yeah. That works great. I actually have an alternative title.
Oh, what's that?
Maneater. What a way to go. Or Scarlett Johansson makes me feel funny in my no-no place.
You and everybody else.
Yes. Okay, so what we got here is, you know, spoiler alerts galore here, because there's really no way to talk about this movie other than talking about the story.
Yeah, so if you haven't seen it, don't listen to this podcast.
Right, go see it, then come back. We'll wait. Go on.
And don't read the back of the box either. Just dive into it. Just rent it. Don't read the description. Dive into it.
And whatever you do, don't take acid while you're...
Yeah, definitely not. That would be bad.
All right. So basically what we got here, Scarlett Johansson and some other dude on the motorcycle are aliens.
Well, maybe.
They're aliens. They're aliens, maybe. And they are... What are they doing? Are they processing men for food or something like that?
That is quite a mystery, isn't it?
Their end goal is not quite defined in this. However, some of their processing methods are.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's start with, you know, let's just not go into the goo. Okay, so there's a male and a female. If there are more throughout the world, we don't know. We know there's a male and a female. The female is played by Scarlett.
We do know that there are more, because later in the movie, there are several motorcycle guys out looking for her.
Well, there we go then. Okay, there are more. Yeah. But we are focusing in on this one couple.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it's a romantic couple type of thing. These are clearly supervisor and subservient. The female goes out and seduces men, brings them back to her house, lair, base, whatever you want to call it, where she entices them into what we can only assume is some kind of toxic pool of black goo.
Yeah.
And from what we saw on, what was it, the third person? Either the second or the third person that got lured. We see an under the goo shot. I was about to say underwater, but it's not water. Because they are clearly suspended and not sinking or rising. It's a thick goo of some kind. Is that one of the first people that she brought back to her base has pretty much been eaten from the inside out.
Yeah, it's just a floating bag of skin.
Right. I mean, there is movement there, so they're not completely gone. But by the end of the scene, poof, it's just a husk.
Yeah. And that's why that scene, to me, is particularly horrific. I try to imagine myself in that situation. And I would be...
Why would you imagine yourself being dissolved from the inside out?
No, of the guy seeing this happen.
Being
in that situation of observing this happening and going, oh, my God, that's what's going to happen to me.
I'm going to get
that's insulted. That's why I insist on calling this a psychological horror sci-fi film. Definitely has. I mean, it's not your typical blood and guts, ooh, monsters, but it is creepy aliens walking around in human skins, luring humans to their doom and death.
Right. And you know? Unfortunately, like I mentioned before, there's no... End cause. Why are they doing this? Is it just for sustenance for their...
I don't think it's important. That's not what the story is about. They're, whatever it is, research, genetic analysis, maybe they're dissecting humans, you know, in their own way. Maybe it's food. Who knows? And we don't even know that they're aliens, really. We never see spaceships. They could
There is a scene with a tower and four lights going in opposite directions through the sky. So I'm assuming alien here.
Or they could just be city lights, city skylight, spotlights.
So.
I've seen those in cities before. It's not.
Well, then you've seen the aliens.
It's suggested, but the fact that they don't show like a huge spaceship landing or any of that stuff, you know, leaves it kind of open. They could just be creatures beyond our understanding.
Perhaps.
From another dimension. Not aliens from another planet somewhere else in the galaxy, but maybe from a different edge of reality. In fact, that is strongly suggested. I mean, she lures these men after verifying that no one would miss them.
Right.
You know?
If they say they have a family or something like that, she skips.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, she
lures them in through these doors, and then somehow they are in a different space.
It's a black room with a shiny black floor.
And you can't see the walls. They just goes off into infinity around them. And as she slowly walks backwards, taking off her clothes seductively, the men just blindly walk forward, some of them clearly aroused.
There is Wang in this movie, ladies and gentlemen.
Not just Wang, but erect Wang.
Aroused, erect, fairly average-sized Wang.
But it's what you would expect. I'm glad that they had the courage to. You couldn't make this movie in Hollywood. It had to be independent.
Right.
As they walk across this black floor, they suddenly find themselves sloshing through this opaque black liquid. Sink into it.
And it's not even that they find themselves there. We find them there.
Yeah,
they don't seem to give a shit.
Yeah, they're just totally captivated.
Scarlett Johansson's boobs.
Yeah.
Look, if you're going to dissolve me from the inside out, at least sleep with me first.
Once they sink below the surface, though, it is a dark but clear liquid that they're kind of floating around in.
Gotta wonder if the room itself, or maybe even the goo, has some sort of tranquilizer effect to it. Because even underwater, when the guy is watching this guy, the other guy, dissolve, he's not panicked. He actually looks a little serene.
You know something else I noticed? He's down there for an awfully long time watching this other figure come out of the gloom. That liquid is keeping him alive.
Yep. Well, I want to say an awfully long time. I figured maybe a day or two, depending on how long it takes for her
to get another guy. No. I mean, the guy that sinks down and then sees the other figure down there that turns out to be a husk, he's down there looking at that for way longer than you would expect someone to be able to hold their breath.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And
I'm assuming the goo is keeping them alive.
Yeah, there's no bubbles, nothing. So I think the goo may be their way of either digestion or their way of dissection.
Could be like the fly, you know, like Jeff Goldblum having to vomit up that acid on the food before it can be eaten. We don't know these things. But to the point of the movie, this isn't the story.
Yep.
The story is not about the aliens luring men and Scarlett Johansson's boobs. This is a story of discovery.
Yeah.
Of self-awareness and discovery. And that's where it takes a psychological flip for me. When she has her last victim is someone who is deformed.
Yeah, I can't remember the name of the disease.
It's the Elephant Man syndrome. I don't remember the technical name for it. But his face is obviously misshapen and bulbous and stuff like that. And she takes pity on him and actually goes back and frees him, lets him escape.
I'm not so sure. We don't actually see that. We see her kind of stop and stare at herself in the mirror. And that seems
to be... Well, how else did he get out?
I wonder if perhaps he was rejected because of his, you know, genetic deformity. Mm.
Yeah,
you know?
It could have been like the movie... oh, God, what the hell was that? species.
Yeah.
The alien, you know, goes to mate with someone and senses that they're medically sick or something like that. Nope.
Because they just kind of walk out together. She follows him out the door, or does he follow her out the door?
She comes out first and he follows, I think.
And then he just kind of walks off into the wilderness, into the fields, and then gets captured by a motorcycle guy.
Right. And she runs for the fucking hill, not runs, but drives away to the fucking hills.
Yeah.
We see fear in her eyes for the first time. Conflict. And then she becomes self-aware of herself as this man at a bus depot shows her kindness and brings her. He assumes that she's homeless or something like that. He brings her home, doesn't take advantage of her at all, gives her a warm place to stay and stuff like that. And she disrobes and actually starts discovering her human form.
Yeah.
And she's staring at herself in the mirror and starts to observe the beauty of herself. It's like, oh, this is what all these men are interested in.
I wonder if the human disguise carries with it the risk of contamination.
That is possible, I assume.
Because one assumes that the human disguise comes from somebody that existed previously, some woman that was lured in by a male member of the species, or somebody or a member of the species wearing a human male skin.
Right.
You know, and she's wearing that skin. What happens later in the movie leads me to believe that the skins might stay a little bit alive.
Let's not jump ahead too far, but I know what you're talking about. Okay,
it makes me wonder, though, about the goo. Maybe
the goo and the relationship between the alien and the husk.
Well, it might not just be physical dissection. What if they're also assimilating information? I mean, these creatures seem to be particularly well versed in human behavior. You know, she seems to be accessing something. You know, when she speaks so naturally to the men she tries to lure into her truck, you know, into her van.
Small talk.
Yeah. She's very, very good at it.
And let's just break there for a point. Some of these guys that she's talking to and gives rides to and stuff like that were not actors.
I think the disfigured guy was the only one that was hired on ahead of time.
Right. These guys that she are picking up are on hidden camera, and it's just Scarlett Johansson driving around in a van picking up guys.
Yeah. Yeah, isn't that amazing?
Yeah, and then after the scene is shot, they stop. Oh, by the way, we're filming a movie. Would you like to sign this release?
Yeah, and would you like to also... I mean, would you pass that up? Chance to see Scarlett
Would you like to appear in this movie and get in the goo while you watch Scarlett Johansson strip? Oh, yeah! I'm all there, brother!
They just drove around Scotland, and that's where the book takes place, which I downloaded on my Kindle. I'm interested to read it. It's probably going to be quite a bit different. And they just had basically the crew, the director and somebody else in the back of the van behind a partition. And then just had ScarJo just kind of, you know, driving around and rolling down her window and flagging down guys and saying, hey, and chatting them up.
Asking for directions and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah. And saying, hey, can I give you a ride? Where are you on your way to? You know?
Yep.
Do you think it being Scotland made it slightly easier for her to get away? I mean, I wonder how many... Oh, my God, it's Scarlett Johansson.
I was just about to say that. I wonder how many outtakes there are.
And
you look just like Scarlett Johansson.
It's not just the van either. Most of the film where other people are involved was filmed this way. All the scenes where she is walking down the streets through the crowds in the mall, all of that was done with cameras that were cleverly hidden on somebody else's person walking behind her. Nobody realized it. All those weren't extras. Those weren't, you know, background extras. Those were all just people. Isn't that amazing? And again, you couldn't get away with that in America because you'd have to have every single person sign a release.
Yeah.
Every single person. You just,
here, will you sign this and here's $50.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's pretty much how it's done in some places. This is why in some reality TV shows and stuff like that, some people are blurred out.
Yeah,
their faces because
or the stuff on their T-shirts because the logos pre-approved and whatnot. Because I love the way this film is put together, the way that they did this.
So we continue with the self-discovery. Then she begins to want to experiment emotionally, and this guy that has shown her kindness and stuff like that.
What's that classic line? Show me what you Earth people call love or something.
Oh, God.
What is that from? I can't remember.
I don't know. It's probably something, some kind of cheesy movie.
Yeah, but, some cheesy movie about, you know, American astronauts landing on some, you know, planet, some 1950s sci-fi movie.
Mm-hmm. Where the women are green. Show me what you Earthmen call love. But
yeah,
anyway,
exactly that.
But yeah, they start making out a bit. And it's tender. It's not your typical Hollywood, hot, passionate, let's fuck everything that moves kiss.
No, just to make this clear, this is an actor that she's with now.
Right. This is an actor. But it does seem to me, you know, this is not, oh, we're going to fuck like rabbits kind of kissing. This is experimental kissing. This is her first kiss.
Yep.
And it looks like it. She did a very good job at this. They attempt to make love, and
whoops,
he attempts to penetrate her, and she's like, whoa, what the hell's going on down here? And then she scoots to the edge of the bed and starts looking at it. Oh, my God, there's something between my legs?
I don't know. I think she half expected it to work. I mean, this species has clearly examined humans enough to know how their basic biology and reproductive, you know, systems work.
But having never experienced it, that would be a kind of a freaky thing.
I think she got carried away in the moment. I think she got carried away in the moment and forgot that she wasn't human, and then it wouldn't go in because there's no in for it to go into.
Right. Well, yeah, they could be completely different genitalia. I mean,
it was probably human looking on the outside, but there's not much depth to that there, you know?
Who knows? Yeah.
And you know, and she probably inspected herself like, you know, oh, crap. I hope I didn't.
Crap, this ain't going to work. And then she's gone. She takes off.
I love the way the shot, you know, from his perspective, where she scoots the end of the bed, spreads her legs facing away from him, grabs the lamp and looks down and then just kind of casts it away like,
shit, this ain't going to work. And then she's gone. She takes off.
Yeah.
I was like, well, this went too far. Gotta go. And then she tries to eat. She tries chocolate cake.
Whoops.
And discovers she cannot ingest human food.
Yeah.
Coughs it up. Makes a little bit of a scene, but not much. I mean, she's trying to, oh, sorry, everyone. And, yeah, and then she just goes off and just
wanders off into the woods.
Wanders off into the woods where she meets Logger guy. These people don't have names. It's just guy who works for a logging company.
Yeah.
Who turns out to be massive rapist?
You know, there's a point I want to make about this.
Make the point.
In this moment of vulnerability, in this time of vulnerability, where she's, you know, tried to explore human nature as a human and has totally failed, suddenly finds herself in the situation where she was putting all these men. You know, the logger asks her, you know, oh, you out here all by yourself?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh, yeah. Tables are turned.
Tables are turned, and she's not the predator anymore. She is the prey.
Now, did you notice there is specific music that is playing while she's hunting?
Yep.
That music was playing when the guy starts hunting her.
Mm.
So
you're talking about the steady beat kind of thing?
Yes.
Yeah.
There is specific music and rhythms that are playing when she was hunting, and that music was played again when the tables were turned. And lo and behold, he tries to force himself upon her, tears her husk.
Yep.
And he's like, well, what, wait, whoa, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, he was shocked.
Tear at the back of the head because he was trying to grab her hair. And then a tear at the base, right above the ass, basically. He was trying to pull her pants off or something like that. And, yeah, the husk comes away.
And that scene is very hard to watch. And very hard to act, too. The guy was constantly apologetic towards Scarlett Johansson.
I did not read any of the Internet Movie Database notes on this.
I watched all the behind-the-scenes featurettes on the
I watched
Blu-ray.
The streaming from Amazon. I didn't get any of that. I just wanted to do the podcast just based on what I saw in the movie and not with any behind-the-scenes knowledge on this one. But yeah, I mean, makeup was very well done on this. I don't know if it was just a cat suit, you know, if you know what I mean, a bodysuit or whatever that was torn or whatever.
It was a different actress.
Oh, it was a different actress. All right.
Yeah, much skinnier than Scarlett Johansson.
Oh.
Of course, to fit into her, you know, to make it believable.
All right, so they skinned Scarlett Johansson, put a skinnier actress in her. Buffalo Billy Bob. All right. But yes, the husk is, I can't say torn away. She just removes it like a suit.
Yeah, she peels it off partially.
She peels it off to reveal the alien or interdimensional being or whatever you want to say. They don't really explain what she is. But beneath or under the skin.
Looks like a very skinny woman covered in tar. Pretty much, kind of a black glistening coating, and her face looks human, except she's bald.
She's humanoid.
Yeah, she's humanoid. You can, it's interesting. The face was done with CGI, I believe, because the actress.
That had to have been a CGI character, too thin, and the movements were a bit fluid.
But the it was totally believable as a physical creature.
Yes.
That was some damn good CGI. It was not goofy.
Now we see where the entire budget was spent.
Pretty much.
Was that one scene, because that one ending scene kicked ass.
Yes, it did.
It really did. And then the rapey logger guy does, I think, what any rational man would do when they see some woman tearing her flesh off. Douses her in gasoline!
And sets her on fire.
I would. Holy shit! Kill it with fire!
Yeah.
I've seen too many sci-fi horror movies to know where this is going.
That was pretty messed up.
Yeah.
She just stumbles off and burns to death and
yep.
They have like one last scene where motorcycle guy is like
still looking for her.
You know, looking, trying to find her and doesn't. And yep. The end of the movie.
Now, let's take a look at the beginning of the movie.
Okay.
The woman she is undressing, I think, she is replacing. This woman who is on the floor getting undressed, or she is, Scarlett Johansson is undressing to get her clothes, I believe is of the same race, but she has fallen victim to the emotions as well.
Maybe. I mean, that's one possible interpretation.
Why wouldn't they just liquefy her like everyone else? I think it is a creature of the same race who now has to be replaced because she's become corrupted.
I disagree. I think it was a human woman who they just knew was dead. She wasn't dead. She was paralyzed.
She cried.
Yeah, that's what leads me to believe that she wasn't of their race, because she cried.
I don't know.
She still had human tear ducts.
Let's talk about the husk then, because at the end, when she's taking off the Scarlett Johansson husk, the eyes moved.
Yeah, that's what led me to say what I said earlier, that maybe some of the woman that the skin came from is still there in a sense, so that the being inside can draw upon that woman's experiences. You know, in the very beginning, I mean, it can't be complete, because in the very beginning we hear Scarlett Johansson
learning English.
Yeah. So I think it's kind of partial, but there's just no way a race of creatures like this.
And how do we know that's even human skin that she's wearing? It could just be a suit that was genetically engineered for them for this task. We don't know.
Oh, from the genetic pool that they've been sampling.
It could be. We don't know. It doesn't go into it. It doesn't say where they got this husk. Yeah. It's possible. It does leave it open. It does leave a lot of things open to personal interpretation.
Oh, you know what? It could be. It could be an exterior skin that is hooked up somehow to the nervous system of the creatures inside.
Yeah.
I wonder if she was looking down at the skin's face, and she was also looking back up at herself through the skin's eyes.
That is entirely possible. That's a good theory.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we don't know. Unfortunately, she died before it could be brought to light. But again, that's not what the story was about. The story was not about the alien. The story was about the self, the self-awareness.
Yeah. And that it went, all the way, this journey of hers from preying mindlessly, emotionlessly on all these human men. And then by the end of the movie, the tables have turned, and she's now seeing what she put, all these men. I mean, it's not the same exactly, but the act of praying has been done to her. And now I feel like she might be a little bit horrified with herself or itself. Perhaps. You know?
Once she began to have empathy and see the men rather as prey than as, oh, wait a minute, these are people.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I think in the beginning, the woman that they're undressing is actually someone who's been corrupted by the emotions. Also, you look about midpoint in the movie, right before the deformed guy, motorcycle guy examines her, looks at her very deeply in the face and stuff like that. I think he's looking for emotion.
You think so?
Is she being corrupted? Is she safe to continue?
He kind of takes a look at the back of her head for a little bit. That doesn't jive with that.
He looks deeply into her eyes, too.
Yeah. I don't know. I think he's just examining the condition of the skin.
Maybe.
Of the suit. We mentioned the music before. The music is unlike anything that I've heard before. It's a lot of... it's not like an orchestral score or anything. It's just synth. But it's very well sampled synth. Yeah. It is directly sampled from instruments. But the reason why they did synth was on a keyboard was because they could hold a note for as long as they wanted without having to make the cellist reverse the direction of the bow. You know. Right.
A good celloist or whatever can make that seamless anyway, but.
Right, but they wanted to make it perfect and be able to sustain it on demand for minutes at a time. But that staccato, not staccato, I don't know, what would you say that beat is? That duh, 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 duh.
I don't know.
You know, that sound. And I love the way as her victim slowly sank into this liquid, it would slow and slow and slow. And then it would just stop, and then she would come back and pick up her clothes and leave.
Yep. So what do you think the motorcycle guy is? Is he the supervisor? Is he just pretty much maintenance? Is he cleaning up after her messes?
I think he's definitely a what you would call, oh, what's the word? A handler.
Yeah, I would say that. But also very, very, we alluded to it before, very careful not to touch or deal with anyone who might be missed in any way, shape, or form. Good example, Baby on the Beach.
Wow, that was hard to watch, wasn't
that,
it?
I'm looking at this. You heartless fuck. Okay, so she meets a guy who's there from, where was he? From Czech Republic or something like that?
Yeah, some Czech
Republic. Something like that. Well, he's in Scotland on vacation to get away from it all, whatever. But, you know, he's there with no ties. He's out surfing or body surfing, whatever the hell he's doing. Scarlett's seducing him. He notices woman has been caught in the current. Well, I should say dog has been caught out in the current. Woman is going after the dog. She got caught out in the current. Her husband dives in trying to save them. Well, Czech Republic body surfing guy dives in to try to save him. And couple has a baby on the beach. And body surfing guy is unsuccessful. Well, he is successful in the fact that he drags the other guy back to shore. But then, you know, all exhausted and stuff, collapses on the beach. Guy goes back after his wife. We learn in a newscast later on in the movie, they're still missing. So we have to assume they've drowned.
Yeah, well, the man turned up on the beach, but his wife and baby were missing. Okay.
But, okay, baby and wife are missing. So
he washed up somewhere else.
Right. Handler guy goes back. He probably just follows her movements and make sure she doesn't leave anything behind or something like that. Mm. But she goes back to the beach to clean up or whatever, make sure nothing's left behind. Baby is still there on the beach crying. This is probably several hours later. Crying, he just does what he needs to do, turns around, walks away, leaves baby on the beach.
Yeah.
Because if you would have taken the baby, it could have been traced. Someone could have seen him.
Yeah.
But I'm like, well, that's just, no, don't leave baby on the beach.
Yeah, that was heartbreaking.
Baby's dead.
I don't think you could get away with doing that in America. You know, they didn't do anything to the baby, but the baby quite clearly thought he was abandoned. I mean, he was looking around desperately for some adults. One assumes his mom or his dad.
Right. Baby and, sees this guy get up and walk away, and the baby's like, no! No, man, don't leave me like this!
The baby's, you know, can't even walk yet. It's like, you know, maybe a little bit over a year.
Yeah, it looked like it. Yeah, he tried to get up, and fell right back down.
And he's just screaming his little head off and just looking around. Where is it, mommy? Where is mommy?
Yeah.
Oh, man, that was hard to watch. And I think that's the first moment a little bit later in the movie where she starts to feel something when the baby across the street in the other car is screaming and she kind of flinches a little bit. You know, she looks a little bit bothered by the sound. Maybe she's being reminded of the baby on the beach. Fascinating movie.
Yes. All right, so.
Really glad you like this one, man.
You know, honestly, I don't think I'd probably ever see it again, but I'm not unhappy that I saw it.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen some movies, like, actually paid to see it in the theater and stuff, where I'm like, well, this was a fucking disappointment.
This movie is one that would be good to see again if you're showing a friend, like I've done here with you, you know?
Yes, like passing it on like The Ring.
Yeah.
Just, you have to be corrupted by this movie as well. Look at that baby on the beach. Look at it.
I have to applaud Scarlett Johansson for
she did wonderful.
Phenomenal job, and also for being brave enough to bear it all, and I mean all.
Yes, and the only thing I did read was that there was no body double.
No body double. It was all her. And
by the way, did you know that this movie caused an internet meme.
Yes. Before it even came out.
Yep. The scene that she falls face down on the street, on the sidewalk. People didn't know that she did that on purpose. And someone caught it on camera. Say, oh, look, there's Scarlett Johansson walking down the street. Click. Oh, my God, she fell. Click. And it became a meme. People were, like, photoshopping her into other things.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's from this movie.
I missed that meme completely. I'm going to have to look it up and I saw it
when it was circulating.
So now you know where it came from. The mystery has been revealed. It's a good movie. Damn good movie. And creepy enough for me to say, yeah, it's horror. It's horror.
I honestly wouldn't classify it as horror. It's a psychological thriller.
Who cares what you think?
Hey!
You know, it says right here on the Wikipedia, Under the Skin is a 2013 British-American science fiction horror art film. Punk.
Yeah. All right, so Under the Skin, good movie. Not for everyone. I mean, let's face it, the pacing was slow. A lot of people would probably lose their patience after a while.
Yeah, especially if they're, you know, they only ever watch American movies. But I watch quite a few international movies. And so I think that's prepped me for, you know, a movie that colors way outside the lines of the typical, you know, must have big action sequence, right. 45 minutes to 50 minutes into the movie.
This movie is paced very deliberately.
Yes. It's a lot like It Follows in that sense, that it's
very deliberate.
And, you know, and there's a lot of tension.
And I've got to say, in the first 5 minutes of the movie, I'm like, well, I got my alternative title. My God, we need a lighting director.
Right. It is very dark. They used a lot of natural lighting, whatever was on hand.
Right, I mean, the motorcycle guy in the first 5 minutes, like, what the hell is that? Is that a guy on a motorcycle? I can't even tell what it is. It was that dark. But yeah. So, Under the Skin, recommend it for viewing for others? Yes.
Absolutely. At least once.
At least once.
But by now, if you've listened to this entire podcast, we've ruined the entire story.
The entire freaking thing for it. But we warned you at the beginning of the podcast, watch the movie first.
Yes.
We warned you.
And you didn't listen.
You bastards.
Oh, my God. Everybody thinks they know everything.
I know, right?
What are we watching next time, Jethel?
You know, that's a good question. Time on the Monster Club, we're going to take a look back at the Final Destination franchise. And as a reminder, you can follow us Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Cinema Unrest and CinemaUnrest.com.